What's going on, everyone? Art of the Game is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. To learn more, visit fireside.evansville.edu.
Yeah, make it look easy. Hey, stand up guy, boom, 10 toes. Big body pull up in a Range Rover. I could change the whole game when I say so. I pull up, shut it down, yeah, they know. Running this game ain't a thing for me.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Art of the Game podcast, where we sit down with student athletes to talk about the game of life. And today, we got a real special guest. We got my little bro. We got Raymond Felton III. What's going on, boy?
Yo, what's good with y'all? What's good with y'all?
As y'all can see, he's flexing his Crimson and Cream. Hey,
sir.
Congratulations, hey. Brother.
Appreciate you. Just came out Spring 24 EI.
For those who don't know, that's Kappa Alpha Psi, part of the Divine Nine Black Greek Fraternity and Sororities. Always a pleasure. And hey, he brought something back.
Yes, sir.
Brought something back. So hey, that's what's up. So we will definitely be getting to that a little bit in this episode. But to start things off, man, again, welcome and thank you for coming on, taking time out of your night. It ain't late, but you know, it's getting there.
Hey man, appreciate you for having me, man. Appreciate you for having me for sure.
So Ray, he come out of Houston.
Yes, sir. Houston, Texas, man.
Hey man, you know how that they say everything big in Texas.
Everything, man.
Like,
hey, you know how we do it, man.
Hey, but nah, man. What's it? You know, Houston's a great city. Texas is a great state. So go ahead, talk about your upbringing, dog.
Man, so yeah, of course I'm from Houston. Started out in Pasadena, Texas, to be specific. Crazy. Had to get up out of there, though. Mom and dad wasn't really feeling the academic side, so I ended up moving to Clear Creek, ISD. Mom's a doctor, dad's a senior financial analyst, so yeah, so they got their own things. My mom also owns three doctor's offices.
Hey.
So definitely a good upbringing. Got two siblings right under me. They both look up to me, so my brother's actually playing right now on a varsity level at basketball, and then my sister started her first year of sports. She ended up winning district and track, so I was really proud of that. Just ready to get back home, really, man. But yeah, that's really it for now.
Did your parents do sports?
Yeah, so my mom was a cheerleader and my dad hooped.
So as you can see, there's something in the water in that household. We got, Ray also runs track. So this man is definitely a speedster. So at what point in time in your life did track come into play? And you didn't just do track, you also did basketball, right?
Yeah, so I started out when I was young of, 2014. I played baseball first.
Really?
Baseball. But I got bored because they put me in the outfield and no balls was coming out and young. So I ended up moving to football, played football for about 3-4 years, including 7th to 8th grade middle school. And I also played basketball in middle school. And then, I played basketball since 3rd grade. So basketball was like just everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did basketball and then I'll do football, but still keeping the basketball track. And then once I got to high school, 7th grade, I ran track. I won district in track for the 100, but didn't really think nothing of it. I've always thought I was fast, so that really wasn't nothing crazy. 8th grade year, I ended up getting hurt in track. I fractured my pelvic bone, so I couldn't finish the season out. And then I got to high school, and I let football go. So I was just a basketball track athlete, but basketball mainly. And, of course, I stopped growing. So I kept up with basketball, of course, and then kept up with track also. But it wasn't until senior summer, like going into senior year, that I fully locked in on track. And so I locked in that summer and told my mom and dad I wanted to just do track. So I went into the school year, of course, just focused on track and everything. And then I went to the first basketball game, and they lost. So it kind of made me upset, so I joined back on the basketball team and ended up finishing it out my senior year. And then after that, then I jumped back to track, and I seen a lot of success in the track atmosphere and things like that. And the offers started rolling in. And then by then it was just like, I think this is what I'm meant to do. So then right before regional, that area, I ran a 21-2 and ended up becoming the 38th ranked sprinter in the United States. That was after I committed to UE. I was originally committed to University of Tennessee Martin, but of course UE presented itself and it was definitely a better option academically, school-wise, location, everything. So I locked in on UE and then just went from there.
You said that you always knew you were fast, right? But like football,
mm-hmm.
you have football. How much of How much do you believe with you being a multi-sport athlete was able to help you in all the sports that you play?
Oh, definitely. You definitely don't want to limit yourself to one sport. Like, I just know that just trying to go to college on a college aspect and things, like, being a multi-sport athlete allows you, like, so many different options in life. Like, if you can manage two different sports and schooling, that just sets you up for success in the real world and things like that. And then every sport brings something. So, like, football brings, like, that physicality. And then basketball brings, like, that true team environment because it's only five of y'all on the court, but you got to get used to other people subbing in and things like that. You got to learn multiple positions. And then on the track, it's more like you by yourself in some aspects, but then in the relays, you got to count on other people to get you to stick. So, like, all three of them helped me become, like, a true leader in the aspect of, like, I'm mentally tough. I'm physically tough. I'm able to know a whole lot of roles. And then me being a point guard in basketball, I had to know everybody's position. I had to know what everybody else had to do. So it was like I couldn't just worry about one thing. I couldn't just worry about myself. I had to worry about the team. And then getting the track, it was like I had to switch that mindset to be like, if you don't run fast, it's on you. It's like you can't put the blame on other people. So really, like, taking accountability for my own actions. So all three of them coming together has definitely molded me to who I am today.
As far as with you doing track, are there any, like, influences that you look at and be like, okay, if I can take his technique, if I can take what he does, who do you look at?
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, it's the big ones, of course. Christian Coleman, he's the fastest short sprinter in the world. Mm-hmm. So looking at his start, my start is not the best. So obviously I'm going to go to the best person in the world. I'm going to try to get tips from him. But also looking at Noah Lyles, and that may sound just like I'm just bandwagoning. I actually like, my running actually mimics his. Like, our starts are never the best, but our top-end speed's really good. So I try to see what he's doing and learn the ways he's running in the curves to really boost himself out the curves and propel himself down the finish line and stuff like that. So those are really my true role models in it. And then, of course, everybody watched Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
That just inspires everything.
Yeah.
Usain Bolt winning everything. So, yeah, that's definitely those two.
What are some what are the events that you run in track, and what is your favorite to run?
So indoor season, I run the 60, the 200, the 4x4. Outdoor, I got the 100, 200, 4x4, and 4x1. My favorite event is the 200, though.
Why?
My acceleration isn't as good in the 100, and the 400 is too long. So the 200 feels just right for me. I could build up in the curve, and then down the straight, my topping just carries me. So I have enough strength to finish full speed in the 200. So I love the 200. It's just been with me since I was young. So I just keep it going.
So as far as your recruiting process, you talked about you committing first to University of Tennessee Martin, then you came here to UE. What was it about both schools, and then finally UE, where you was like, this is where you need to be?
Ooh, that's definitely okay. So starting out, I didn't want to go to either. I wanted to go to a bigger school, of course. But as I started weighing my options and things, I didn't want to go to a big school because I was going to get lost in the shuffle. Like, class-wise, like, I need a lot of attention in the classroom, so I need a smaller classroom. I didn't want to go on a big campus because I didn't want to get sidetracked. I wanted to be able to focus on my two things.
Mm.
So once I talked to the UT Martin coach, of course, they presented themselves with the money aspect. That's always a thing in track because you can't get a full ride in track. You got to get half and half. So some of these schools are coming with 75 or 60% scholarships, and UT Martin came with 85. So I was paying just 15%. But once UE presented itself, it was like, initially before I got into the fellows, they were giving me 85. So I was like, okay, now I got two schools that are weighing the same. And then I chose Tennessee Martin. And then I found out that I ended up getting into the fellows. And fellows, obviously, it covers full tuition. So the money aspect looked amazing. And then I started weighing the true options. And I was like, hey, I'm going to be staying in a new dorm. The track team is going to be really fresh. Like, we brought in 45 new athletes. So I'm going to be part of a new team. And he said he wanted to use me as a building block also. So just hearing everything and then weighing the options. Then my parents speaking highly on it, saying that you get a degree from here. This and that will happen, set me up for success in the real world. So I just balanced everything, prayed to the Lord, and got me here.
You're talking a whole lot about your academics, right? Both sides, but at what point do you think, at a very young age, and you talked about what your mom and your father do right now, At what point when you were real young, was that really instilled with you? It's like, listen, you can be an athlete, things of that nature, but this other side matters just as much, if not more.
Elementary. So as I said, I played basketball. And, of course, being in Texas, all athletes are good. Like, you're going to see good athletes no matter where you go. I mean, we're fifth graders being able to almost compete on varsity levels and things like that in Texas. So there was one day where they found out I had a C in a class, and it was on game day. This was the first time they ever did this to me. So I'm in class. Out of nowhere, I get home, and they're like, oh, you're not playing the first half of your basketball game. And I'm like, why? What did I do? And they're like, you have a C in your class. I'm like, that's passing. And they was like, not in our house. So I was like, that truly woke me up. And I'm like, dang. So then my mom ends up talking to me like, academics matters. Like, you're not going to have sports your whole life, but you're going to have that degree your whole life. So I started really maturing at a young age with, like, I got to be able to balance sports and academics.
I was just about to ask you, was there any punishments?
Yes, man.
I was the only one?
It happened multiple times. Or like it would be threatened. So I used to do things last minute. Mm. So that's a big one. You know, hey, everybody knows like that, like doing projects and stuff.
Yeah.
So I did a project 3 weeks in advance. It wouldn't tell my mom about the project till the night before it's due. And now we got to scramble and try to make stuff up. So I remember one time she was like, next time you do this, I'm just going to take you from basketball. Like, you're not going to be able to hoop for the whole season. So it was like, yeah, I'm doing my work, but now I got to really like start doing them. Mm-hmm. So those punishments used to hit. Those punishments used to hit different, man.
The whole season.
It's like, or they'll just be like, I'll take the rest of the season from you. So like, if I was already in basketball season, already in football season, it was like, you don't got to finish the season out there. There's other people that could play. So like, yeah. They said that they'll make me go to the game, but they wouldn't let me play in it. Stuff like that. Then I would have to tell the team why I'm not playing this. But that's a common thing down in Texas, though. So it's just really the water down there. They just make us different. I'm not gonna lie, man.
No, it's funny because it's like my family old school, right? Dad, he's from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, she got a lot of people that's from the South, and so it's like, nah, I didn't do a whole lot of sports growing up, so it's like, but
man. Telling you. I got my little sister and little brother going through everything too. So I'm trying to walk them through the process. That's why I can't wait to get back home for the summer, because it's like, I done went through a whole year of college, and like my freshman year of college has been really like hectic.
Mm-hmm.
Like just getting here, trying to learn a new atmosphere, coming 16 hours away from home, things like that, and then going to getting my letters, and then still trying to run track on the flip side. This is my first real year of track. My first indoor season went well, things like that. I mean, you don't see someone every day breaking 3 school records in one season. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened indoor season. I got the 200, the 300, and the 4x4 record. And then I'm number 5. I'm number 5 in the 60 meter for the school. So, like, you don't see someone doing that in general. So just everything I've learned, I feel like it's, like, molded me to definitely mature out really fast. Because I'm only 19, but I feel like, I feel like I could teach a whole life, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teach a whole childhood and things like that. So I just can't wait to get back to them and just start installing that mindset of, like, you got to wake up. You got to prepare yourself, right? Like, especially in sports and things. Like, you can't be eating this and expect to perform in that way. I just picked up so many different tricks and tips that I know my parents know, but it's different when it comes from, like, your brother and things like that.
So you just said how you feel like you're 19, you feel like there's a whole lot of tips and things that you could give somebody right now. But what habits do you think that your mom and dad really applied and made sure they put into you when you were young?
Responsibility. Responsibility. That's the true one I could think of, just in everything, like being able to get your clothes the night before, being able to get your homework done the night before, making sure, like, they used to want us to have our, like, because my brother and sister take lunch to school, they used to want us to have all that done the night before and then be able to set your alarm and wake up on time without your mom and dad having to get you up like doing that stuff in middle school, trying to catch the bus at 6:15 as a 13, 14 year old. So like just me learning all that now, it just helped me once I got here. It's like, okay, I got a class at 8, so I need to be up by 7. Or I got weights at 7, I need to be up by 6 so that I can still eat something and then let that digest so I can get to weight room. Just those type of things. It's just like, that's just being responsible. That's stuff that people don't see, but it's bettering you in the end. So like that's one true thing I could truly say, like, that they instilled in me in a little age. I learned how to iron clothes when I was in 5th grade. And some kids don't know how to iron clothes now. My dad taught me how to tie a tie in 5th grade. Some people don't even know how to tie ties now. It's like, and then I learned how to make money in middle school. So, of course, my mom, entrepreneur, my dad, really good with money, understands the math. So, like, they started teaching me things. I started picking up on stuff. So, like, I have a real entrepreneur mindset already. And I had that since I was in middle school, just trying to sell lollipops throughout the hallway and make money. I ended up making like $80 in one day off just selling lollipops for $1. Stuff like that. That's just stuff you don't see. You just don't see every kid doing that. You don't see every kid willing to work, willing not eat their own candy to make money in the end, things like that.
Yeah.
So them installing responsibility and just maturism at a young age.
So what grade is your brother and your sister in?
My brother's a freshman in high school. My sister's a 7th grader.
So how much do you talk to them like, hey, look, especially like Brody, like high school. Man, listen, bro, that stuff is going to go by fast.
Hey, who are you telling me?
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I was in, I still feel like I was in high school. Freshman year, I'm about to end my freshman year of college.
Oh.
I'm like, gee, my brother's finna end his freshman year of high school. It's like, it's going by fast, man. He finna be able to get offers. Like, I got 2 cousins. They about to graduate. I'm like, it was different when I graduated, but my cousin's finna graduate. And that, it goes by fast. You gotta live in the moment. You can't be worrying about the past or the future. You gotta live in the moment, truly. And that's coming from me. I live in the future too much. I'm worried about what's gonna happen next. Like, I'm in practice today thinking about what's gonna happen at the meet. The meet's not till Saturday. It's like, you gotta live in the moment. You gotta prepare yourself now. So that's one. That's something that I'm starting to try to apply to my life, is just live in the moment and enjoy what God's giving you at that time.
That's so hard, right? We're either so much focused on the past or we're so focused on what we want to have planned, we can't even really smell the roses.
Exactly.
We can't even really enjoy the journey. And how much do you think that not just affects you as a person, but also as an athlete as well?
Well, like just enjoying the process, especially with track. Like, you, so in track, you're running, like I run 100 meters, I run 200 meters. The fastest 100 meters that ever been ran is a 9 seconds and 56 milliseconds. So like, you train for 5 days a week to go and try to run a 9 second race. And then you come back and train again just to shave that time maybe to a 9.54. Or in my case, I run a 10.7 and I'm trying to shave that off to a 10.6 or a 10.5. Which is very hard to do, and I'm consistently putting in work. So it's like, you can't get it all at once. It's like, so right now I'm at a 10.7 as my PR. If I run a 10.69, I gotta enjoy it. It's a PR at the end of the day. It's 0.01, but hey, I ran faster than that's the fastest I've ever ran. So it's like, once you start thinking about it like that, even in basketball, maybe this game you had 12 points, but you only hit 2 shots. Or you only hit 2 threes. And then the next game, you hit 3 threes and you still have 12 points. Well, look, I made another jump shot than I did last time. So you got to be happy for those type of things. You got to be happy for the steps that the Lord is putting in your face. You can't just try to get it all at once. And you definitely can't be upset when you're doing better, because he can take it away at any moment.
Mm.
Like that, and that's real. He can take it away at any moment. One moment you could jump, one moment you could run and be hurt. And then you're done. And now you're sitting here like, dang, I wish I could have did this, wish I could have did that. Instead of just being happy for what you did in the beginning.
How big, in your estimation, in your opinion, how big is your faith?
Everything. Without him, works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead. I mean, I have a scripture on my arm. You can't see it right now because I just got it touched up. But say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. So it's like, no matter what, like, you have him. If everything else leaves, if your, like, God forbid, your family's not there to help you with things, you can lean on him. When there's hardship, like, I'm away from my family right now. So I can call them, but it's different than being in person. So I gotta truly lean on the Lord. I gotta ask the Lord for forgiveness, ask the Lord for strength when I'm going through hardships. If I got a hard test, like it's finals week. Only person that's gonna get you through that is him at the end of the day. You can do all the studying you want. If he not on your side, then you're not gonna get through that fight, man. Like that's just real. So like, man, my faith is big. And I truly started seeing that in high school. Like I went to church in elementary, I went to church in middle school, but I didn't start truly understanding it until high school. And what truly made me start understanding it was senior year. I made a promise to myself and to the Lord that I would read my Bible every day. And it's easy to do that when you don't have a game that day. But when I was in basketball season, while I'm stretching, I'll put my headphones in and I'll have the Bible just playing. I'll go through at least two chapters. And that, just listening to it, I can feel him like coming into my body, helping me relax. Yeah, taking the nerves out. Like, you were built for this moment. Like, you understand the word. I understood what he's teaching me. And then I go out there and just shine, go out there and do what I got to do. So, like, definitely, the Lord has got me through everything, for sure.
It sounds like also not just responsibility, but discipline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Because, hey, I mean, I never think about just acting out and stuff. Nah, they'll get me so right, no matter how far I am. Hey, I'm messing up on my grades here. They're still on me. And that's not even coming from my parents. That's coming from my little brother and sister. Like, having two younger siblings that look up to you is like, it's a blessing and a curse sometimes. Because as soon as I mess up, they the first ones to call me. They both take Spanish like me. I have the lowest Spanish grade out of all three of us. And they like, dang, Trey, why you got the lowest Spanish grade? So then it's like, it's in my head, like, why do I have the lowest Spanish grade? I'm the oldest. I should have a higher grade than y'all. So it made me start locking in. And I'm like, okay, I got to start doing my work. I got to start understanding this because they looking at me like, if he not going to do his work, why should I, like,
yeah,
try to keep doing my work and try to keep getting better and things? If he's still doing good, because all they see is all the achievements. They see the records being broken. They see everybody posting me, and then they hearing that I'm not doing my work. So in their eyes, it's like, okay, I can still be good on the basketball court. I can still be good on the volleyball court and then my sister cheerleads, so on the field and stuff without doing my work. And that's not the case. You got to do your work. You got to be good. And you got to be disciplined in every aspect of life to be successful.
So your nickname, Trey?
Yeah.
All right.
Raymond Felton the third, man.
I don't know if you know this. I'm the third.
Yeah, yeah, you.
That's my nickname.
Yes, sir, man.
Hey, bro.
Hey, Trey's already, man. Oh, we do it best. I'm not gonna lie.
Don't.
But what's crazy about my situation is, both my grandpas are named Raymond. My mom married a man with the same name as her dad. Think about it, bro. So my grandpa is named Raymond Lennon. And my other grandpa, who I'm named after, is named Raymond Jerome Felton the first. And then it goes Raymond Lennon the third, which is my uncle. And then it's my dad is Raymond Jerome Felton the second, and it's me, Raymond Jerome Felton the third. So it's like, I was like, dang, my mom married someone with the same name as her dad. But like, I like to love and I like to tell that story because it's just different. Like, I like the aspect that I'm different than everyone else. So anything I can incorporate that's different than people, I like to just let those differences show. And that's truly what makes people, like, you don't want to be the same. And I try to tell people, like, don't try to be like someone else. Like, go get it on your own. Go make your way in life, things like that. Like, I have a writing minor. And when I tell that to some people, it's like, dang, you really have a writing minor? Like, I enjoy writing. And I don't even look like the person that enjoys writing. But it's just different. Like, that's just what I like to do. I like to write. My mom used to help me with writing, and then I came to love it. So, like, that's the difference about me. I like to write. So I like to exploit my differences and let them show all the time.
We're going to get back to the names because that's something that's very important to me. So we definitely going to get back to names because I think that can be a whole other discussion. You talked about being 16 hours away from family. Again, you're from Houston, Texas. You're from Texas. You come to Evansville, Indiana.
Hey, man. Atmosphere crazy, man. I'll let y'all know right now. Where he has anything, it's definitely a difference. In every aspect, there's a difference. Man.
Was it like a culture shock for you, or were you just like...
just okay. We have all cultures in Houston. Don't get me wrong, but like the way they act, and the way they act down here is man, it's wild. And this is not to throw no shade on nobody. I'm not gonna get too deep into the topic, but just talking about KSI alone, total difference. You can like, there's people that don't understand, and you can see it. So it's like total difference right there.
Being that far away from family, was that something that one you were perfectly cool and fine with doing, or was that a conversation that you and your parents had?
I came to them with it. I was cool. I was cool with being away. I just wanted the money, man. Whatever school is going to give me that scholarship, I was like, I'm willing to take it. I'm willing to go do what I got to do with it. So that was really it.
So, Ray, was there during high school, right, or just during your time in general before coming to college, did you ever do any AAU track and field?
Yeah. So going into junior summer when I started trying to see if I wanted basketball or track more, I ended up doing AAU track for the Maryland Jaguars down in League City, repping always. So my coach Floyd, he ran the Olympics. He a two-time Olympian, ran at Baylor. So he ended up taking me under his wing and allowing me to run for their track team. So it was definitely different, I'll say, because, I mean, track meets, we had to be there at 8 a.m. We wouldn't leave till 5. And, you know, in Texas, it's 110 degrees, but it was all worth it. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a two-time junior Olympian, two-time All-American, things like that. Got to experience stuff I would have never experienced if I didn't run AAU. Like, I ran at Drake, and come to find out, Drake's in our conference. So it's like, I ran at a school that I'm going to be potentially running at in college. So that was always cool. And then also got to run on the HBCU campus, which is a dream. I want to go to HBCU still to this day. So running at North Carolina A&T, it was just a dream come true. It was like, this is somewhere I want to end up. It's like, it meant a lot to be able just to run there. And then like the atmosphere, like stands is packed, thousands of people, not a single seat left open. And seeing the young athletes running, the older athletes. And of course I came in old because I was already about to graduate. So I was running 17, 18 for 2 years, but just seeing like the 5 and 6 year olds, just being able to compete at Junior Olympics, like, think about that. Like, that's crazy. There's 5 and 6 year olds that are already all Americans and stuff like that. So it was definitely a cool experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, man.
Besides A&T and besides Drake, what are some of your other favorite places that you ran?
Oh, I ran a U of H in front of, what's my coach? Dang, it just slipped my mind. But yeah, the U of H coach, of course, he's a USA qualifier. He won the Olympics, so he was the fastest man in the world. He was a long jumper. I can't think of the name right now. I have to find it. And then also running at Indiana was fun. Oh, the complex for indoor. Mm-hmm. That was fun. Let me find the coach real quick. I cannot. Carl Lewis, that's what it is. Okay. So Carl Lewis is a well-known track athlete, of course. But running in front of him, I ran the 60, and he was standing, like, right there watching me run the 60. So just to win and right in front of him was just cool. And then he talks after and stuff like that. But, yeah, I definitely like running at U of H. I loved running at Indiana. That's where I broke the 200 record for UE. And then in high school, we didn't run anywhere else. My high school ran at Texas A&M this year, but I didn't go in high school. So those are really the only places right now. Oh, I ran at Louisville also. And that was, that was the first time I ever seen an indoor track move. So like there, so it's flat and then it moves in front of you. So that part was live.
Okay.
But that's it. Those are the only places.
What are some of the biggest advice that you've gotten from current and former track athletes?
Stick with it. Trust the process, really. You're not going to be able to get everything at once. Justin Gatlin is a known track athlete. He works with a lot of Houston athletes, and just him being in that Houston area and telling some of my close friends tips and things and them telling it to me, it's like him telling it to me. So hearing things that he said and things like, because I don't know if y'all know or you know about the thing that happened with Justin Gatlin, but he ended up getting suspended for drug use and injection and stuff. And then he ends up coming back in 2018 and beating Usain Bolt and Christian Coleman and becoming the fastest man, like the fastest man in the world without all the added supplements in his body. So being able to come back from things like that and then going to teach, like, you don't need these supplements and things, but you can still win and things. It's just being able to take it all in and open my mind to see, like, I could do anything. As long as I got the Lord on my side and my work ethic, I could do anything.
You also mentioned coaching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I coached Little League football. So it's so fun, man. I'm not going to lie. I coached my little brother to start. So he went to two Super Bowls. My dad was the offensive coordinator, and I was just like the assistant offensive coordinator, but also the team coach. So me being able to build those bonds with those younger athletes, his best friends now, and things like that, it was like, I was still in school, but they looked at me like I was an adult. So, like, they asking me questions like, how'd you get on varsity so fast? Things like that. And I'm like, I'm still in school. Like, I can't even answer this for real. But just them seeing it. And then there was a season where I went and coached my own team. So I went and coached 5- and 6-year-olds. And that age, their attention span is, man, I'm telling you. I was the offensive coordinator for the Pee Wee Sagemont Cowboys. And trying to be an offensive coordinator to teach them plays, it was hard. It truly makes you grow up. I'll tell you that. Mm. Just because these are grown adults, kids, and they're putting these kids in our hands to make them good football players, but also just teach them the game. Like, at the end of the day, it's a teaching thing. You want them to be successful when they get older. So I'm not gonna lie, we went 0-10. We didn't win a single game, but every game got better. Every game, I seen the passion for the football, like, in these boys, I seen it. And I seen them wanting to start putting in more work, because at the beginning of the season, they didn't even care. But by the last game, the game ended up being 42-35. We lost by a touchdown. But it just made me, like, so happy that we were even in the game. Because at the beginning of the season, we got beat 60-0. So going from a 60-0 game to a 42-35, almost winning, even though we didn't win a game, it was just like, you still see improvement. And then the parents are coming up to me saying, thank you for coaching my boy. Thank you for teaching him the game. Like, I'm mad we didn't win a game, but these parents are looking at it as, you're just a young man that just taught my son how to play football. And then they all came back the next year, and even though I didn't coach them, they went to the playoffs the year after. So I still look at it as, those my boys. Like, I'm the one that got them right. And then these coaches took them and enhanced their abilities again and took them to the playoffs. So they still coming up to me, what's up, Coach Ray? What's up, Coach Trey? Things like that. It just makes me smile and stuff. I'm like, hey, man, keep doing your thing. I see y'all and stuff. I made sure I went to their games and everything, even though I went to go coach my brother's division, which was 12 and 13, the older boys. But I still made sure I supported those athletes, because just them having, like, another figure in their life, you don't know what could be going on at home. But when they can come to the football field and talk to these other men, other young men that are also going through things and also at these practices with you, like y'all are sweating, y'all are tired, but we're here too. And y'all know we just came from work. They know I came from workout and school. So it's like they respect us a little bit more, things like that. So coaching is definitely a big part. And I coached my little sister in basketball. So I was able to coach female athletes. So that's a totally different thing, because females are emotional creatures. Like, one thing don't go right, they miss a shot, they don't want to play no more, things like that. Or in some cases, like, my sister's the best one on the team, but I can't show favoritism.
Yeah.
And because I'm not showing favoritism, it might look like I'm being mean to my sister and things like that. But no, I care about you. I want you to be the best you can be. So, yeah, coaching females in basketball. And then the role wasn't even mine. The coach quit. And they're looking to grown adults to step up. And you have a teenage high schooler who stepped up to coach the team. So it was that showed a true sign of maturism again. Just like, I stepped up to coach this team. And even though we won some games, but even though we didn't win the championship and things, it was just like bringing these female athletes together, parents seeing me do this, and then me doing it myself. I was just proud. And then I was thankful that I even got the opportunity to do that.
What got you into it?
What, coaching my sister and them?
Just coaching in general.
My dad and my mom. I mean, my dad coached, like I said, my dad coached my little brother. And once I didn't want to play football anymore, I understand the game so much that it's like, why not let kids pick my brain? Why not I give them what I know? Like, you have the passion to play. I have the passion to teach it to you. So I'm just going to go out and teach it. Like, and then basketball, I've been around basketball too much to not coach. So my mom coaches my sister in cheer, and she's been doing that for about 5-6 years. She done won a good amount. So I'm just saying, good amount. You can't really count. And then my dad, of course, coaching. My dad coached me. So I just feel like anything my dad does, like, if he can do it, I can do it. We got the same name. Everybody say we look alike. So why not follow in his footsteps? Especially because everyone talks about how much of a man he's made me, how much of, like, you've raised him right. Like, when you hear you've raised your son right and things like that, even though I'm the kid that they're talking about, it's still like, all right, Ben, I'm going to follow on what he's doing because obviously he's doing something right. So it's not like I can do no wrong. Like,
come on now.
You feel me? Like, Pop's always going to get me right. So, yeah, just learning from my mom and dad and just shadowing them, that's what got me in the culture for real.
Got you. Even just to that, like, that's something that even for my mom, I had to explain to her, especially like growing up, because, you know, mom is always, like, mom is there from day one.
Exactly.
For day one.
Exactly.
There. But you can see, like, talking to my dad more as I'm growing up, I'm, you know, involving dad a lot more, yada, yada, yada. And, like, my mom, she was like, well, don't leave me out. And I'm like, mama, I'm not leaving you out. This is who I, like, need. Like, right now, I'm always going to need you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I'm going to always need you. But this man right here, I need everything. I got to squeeze as much knowledge, information I can out of him as possible because I ain't got another.
Yeah.
There ain't another Arthur George Hearst III out here. Just like the same way there's not no other Hope Victoria Hearst out there, there ain't another one of him out here either. You've given me a whole lot these first 15, 16 years of my life. This man, I'm trying to crank out whatever he can give me until he passes away.
Exactly. So, yeah, I definitely feel that. Because in high school, or really middle school, high school, like beginning high school, I was really on my mom and things. I was talking to my mom a lot. My dad would instill. So, really, I'm not even going to say that. Really, it was like my mom was the academic part. My dad was the athletic part. So, anything I needed with school-based and stuff, I was going to my mom. Anything I needed with athletic, I was going to my dad. And then it slowly started to change where, like, I could go to either of them for anything. So, like, I'm talking to my mom now about track stuff, and she's trying to help me. And then I'm talking to my dad about our academics in college. So it's like, in my case, I need them both just as much. And I don't, and there was before, like, when I was going through trying to get my letters, I was talking to my dad more. He understood what I was going through, everything. And it had came up, like, make sure you're still talking to your mom, like, she still care about your shoes. She still want to know how you're doing. So I had to, like, sit back and, like, my mom does still care about me. I do need to still talk to her more. But I still looked at it as, like, this man went through exactly what I went through. It's like, I truly need him right now.
Yeah.
So I definitely see where you're coming from. And that has happened to me multiple times where, like, it would feel like I'm going to one or the other when I'm just trying to get knowledge from both.
Yeah.
Both at the end of the day. So just a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Just a balance. Showing both that you care and things like that. But it all works out in the end.
Shout out to mom and dad, man.
Fact.
Shout out to
dad. We love y'all.
always. So, Ray, freshman year wrapping up, right? The track season's wrapping up.
Man.
Going into your sophomore year. Man, you just.
Already, man.
About how fast it went. So what are your plans for the offseason? What we working on to get better mentally, physically?
Ooh, okay. Definitely got to stay in the weight room, get my body right, trying to slim down but also put on more pounds. I put on 16 pounds this year. So, and that was a muscle. So now I'm trying to slim that back down but keep the weight up so that I can move faster, move quicker. Academically, just study. Like, get ready for these classes because they ain't no joke.
Yeah.
Definitely ain't no joke. And then family time, like, soak in all the 3 months I had with my family before I come back to UE. So that's really the game plan right there. Nothing else to it, just those simple three things. Stay in the lab on the track, stay in the lab on my academics, and then just stay with my family.
Boy, thank you for coming on. Again, thank you for taking time out of your night. Definitely going to get you back on.
That, man.
For sure, boy.
Hey, definitely enjoyed it, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
For sure.
Appreciate y'all for rocking with the kid. Running this game ain't a thing for me. I never switched up, no change in me. The only thing changing this season, you go against me, then you know that you tweaking, okay? Cause baby, I'm him. I be on 10. Two stepping in the party, I do not dance. Watch how I move. Make it look easy. Counting up.